You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Welcome back. We are here in the final hour, and we have a special guest to close it all out, live from the Combine in Indianapolis, Mike Griffith, joining us to give us the latest on what is going on up there and what he's been working on. Headline in Dog Nation, in hiring Josh Crawford, Kirby Smart hopes to replicate the Dell McGee blueprint. Griff, thanks for the time. Always great to see you. And tell us about the latest iteration of Kirby Smart.
Yeah, I mean, Georgia with some coaching turnover, attrition like everyone else, Dell McGee getting the head coaching job. And so in comes Josh Crawford, a guy that played running back in college and has a lot of experience coaching the high school ranks. Some of the powerhouse programs in Georgia. Last year, he was at Georgia Tech. A couple years before that, at Western Kentucky. So you got a young, hungry coach, ready for the grind, ready to embrace what college football is now. And Dell turning the page, becoming the head coach he's wanted to be for a while. Some, I guess, new blood's the best way to say it. And I think it's going to be a, good, seamless transition for Georgia at that position.
Certainly, with success, Mike. Turnover occurs. We've seen that at Alabama over the years. Yeah. And now we're seeing it at Georgia. We had a chart on earlier that Glenn Schumann, the defensive coordinator, he's moved up along the ranks, is the only guy remaining from the early days of of Kirby Smart. That is pretty remarkable. And there doesn't appear, at least not yet, to be any drop-off, does there?
Well, I mean, they haven't lost a regular season game since 2020. So that's three straight undefeated regular seasons. And, you know, you pointed out that Kirby Smart's had a lot of success to the point where he doesn't get voted coach of the year because the voters say he's supposed to win. I've never seen anything like that, but that seems to be the logic as far as why Kirby can't win a coach of the year. He's supposed to win, they say. So three straight undefeated regular seasons. You mentioned it, Paul. They've recruited well. And yet, and still, they didn't make the playoff last year. And even though I know the odds came out today in Georgia and Texas, according to these guys in Vegas, they're the two favorites to make the playoff, you still got to go out there and play those games. And Georgia opens against the Clemson team. It's got 18 starters coming back in Atlanta. So it'll be a tough road to hoe.
It will, but it doesn't seem like much is going to slow this program down. So, Mike, I know this is maybe an obvious or an easy question. Maybe it's not. But when you have that much coaching turnover, it does seem to land on Kirby Smart as the glue that holds it all together. Elaborate.
Well, sure. You know, and Kirby's got a mission and a way about going things. And James Coley, Paul, even though, you know, he's a quote-unquote new coach, this is a guy that's been there before. He coached with Kirby for 4 years. Of course, he went on to Texas A&M in 2020 and spent some time there. And that's obviously going to be a pivotal state with Texas coming into the SEC and really becoming a focal point, you know, with the money that they have to spend in NIL, with the size of the city of Austin, just all those high school players, if Texas ever puts it together and, you know, really makes Texas such a big threat. You know, so it's good that Kirby's got a guy in James Coley that's been in Texas for a few years, known best, though, Paul, for recruiting Florida. You know, guys like Tyson Campbell and James Cook. He's the guy that flipped George Pickens, the last five-star receiver that Georgia signed. So I think in James Coley, you're getting a guy that's really going to jack up the recruiting game. And I really like this young coach, Coach Crawford, at the running back position. I think Georgia needed a boost like that. I think the timing's good with Trevor Etienne coming in. I think the Georgia backfield's going to be pivotal to their hopes this year because I'm not sure that their receiving core is going to be equal to what they had last year.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit more about that because we talk in schedule so much, but we haven't really talked to you about this football team, and they're going to hit the spring here soon. You mentioned ETN. Mm-hmm. That's just a massive pickup. Try to give us a roadmap to what this offense, and then we'll get to the defense in a minute, is going to look like.
Well, they've got to get the run game going. If you go back to the SEC championship game when Alabama beat them, Georgia had trouble converting on third and short, and Georgia was, if not the best, one of the best converting third downs all year, and that was where they really failed, was their ability to move the ball against the Crimson Tide's front seven on the ground. I think this year that's going to be a big area of emphasis. I think you're going to see a strong run game from Georgia, probably better than last year's. Those running backs last year were a little bit banged up. You saw the big tight end coming in from Stanford. They're going to continue to play a lot of double tight end formations, a lot of power football, try to put that defense in compromising situations and match up nightmares, and then let Carson go deep, right? And, the play action shot plays. That's what Kirby likes to do, that pro style of offense where the quarterback can go to the line with a lot of options. Do they run it? Do they pass it? Depends on what the defense is doing. Depends on the defensive personnel down in distance. But he likes to keep his quarterback in control. And in Carson Beck, he's got a guy who's really good with pre-snap reads and has the NFL arm that can make all the throws. But this is all predicated, Paul, on being able to run the ball effectively. You've got to be able to hit it hard. And in ETN, I think they've got a 1,000-yard back. I think this is the most complete back they've had since DeAndre Swift. I mean, I'm expecting really big things from ETN, both on the ground and as a pass catcher out of the backfield.
Mike Griffith with us. Mike, I know we joked a little bit, or at least I did, the last time you were here about the schedule. Yeah. But just looking at it, it's fairly chilling when you think. You mentioned Clemson at the beginning, and at Alabama, at Texas, and at Ole Miss. I mean, those are, realizing Georgia will be number one, but those are three schools on the road that will be in the preseason top 10. That's hard to find a schedule. It's impossible to find a schedule that looks like that. And I know that Georgia has all these attributes that you've mentioned. They'll start number one, and they haven't lost a game in a regular season game in forever. But is there any level of concern? There has to be some about that road.
Yeah, there's concern in general. I mean, they were preseason number one last year, and they'd won 29 games in a row, but it didn't matter. They weren't able to beat Alabama in the SEC championship game. And, Nick Saban, of course, he'll always be remembered as one of the greatest coaches of all time. We'll be treated to watching him on game day this year. That'll be a lot of fun. But to your point, that Georgia schedule, and I don't think you can gloss right over Mark Stoops. I mean, remember, this is a guy that we thought might be going to A&M. I think that's a really good football coach. And you catch Kentucky on the road early in the season, before there's injuries. I mean, later in the year, Kentucky gets a little banged up, maybe doesn't have the depth, championship depth of other programs, but I don't think you can gloss right over that Kentucky game any more than you can look past Clemson that has 18 starters back. I mean, and then won their last five games ever since that silly Tyler caller called out Dabo. They haven't lost a game since, and they've really approached the season with a vengeance. You can look at the recruiting trail. I think Clemson's a big threat. I know right now Kirby Smart doesn't think much past spring drills. There's a lot of work to be done. We've talked a lot about offense, Paul, but defensively, that run defense sank all the way down to 18th in the country. And that's a run defense that had led the nation in run defense three of the prior 4 years and was number two in 2021 when they had five first-round D linemen. How Georgia does up front with guys like Warren Brinson and Nazir Stackhouse coming back, their ability to reload is going to be really pivotal to whether or not Georgia can win a title. I mean, Kirby said last spring that they didn't have any train records or havoc makers. And some of the guys on his team responded and say, oh, yeah, we are, coach. Well, no, they weren't. And they got pushed around. Alabama was able to run the ball effectively on them. I know I keep throwing that name out there. That's the program that beat them last year. Okay, that used to be the standard in the SEC with Nick Saban. We don't really know what to expect this year. It's going to be very different. We know what Vegas tells us, that Georgia and Texas are top tier, and they got the second tier there with, I guess, Ole Miss is the third highest favored, and then Tennessee, and then Alabama, like you mentioned. I think LSU is in that tier as well. That's just going in, but after 1 week, I mean, who knows? What happens when Texas plays at Michigan? What does that look like? What happens when Georgia plays at Kentucky? Things can change really fast in the SEC.
And nobody knows that better than Billy Napier. That used to be a game that everybody circled on the Georgia calendar. I believe you were in Gainesville recently for the Spurrier Award, and I'm curious. First of all, how's the HBC? But most important, what did you pick up there about the state of that program?
Well, there's a lot of optimism, believe it or not. At that event, obviously everyone was there to celebrate Coach Spurrier. And last night, Mark Richt was honored as the legend coach. And it was kind of fun to watch him and Spurrier kind of, trade barbs. And, Mark Richt revealing that at one point he got cut from a USFL team by Spurrier, who didn't even realize that. It was just kind of, and Spurrier going back and, remembering the exact plays and exact moments of the game and talking about Richt being, it was a lot of fun, Paul. You know what it's like at those sort of functions. And of course, Jamie Chadwell was there from Liberty. And I don't know why he's not an SEC head coach yet. He will be very soon. This guy is really good. But talking to a lot of the Florida boosters, they looked at the first half of the schedule and they said, if Florida can just get some momentum going. And one guy told me this is the most talent they've had since the Dan Mullen era. So there is some guarded optimism at Florida. There's a lot of trust in Scott Strickland. That's a guy you sat down with last year at the spring meetings and told you that they were going to be patient with Billy Napier. And I think that right now there is some guarded optimism in Florida that maybe Billy Napier, you look at his resume, say this, when you look at Billy Napier's resume and the places that he's been around the SEC. He's coached at other schools. It's better than some of the other coaches coming to the league. When you just sit down and look at where he's been and where he's coached, you can really make a better case. He was a better hire than a lot of these guys, even though maybe things haven't worked out so far. So, now that there's a transfer portal, Paul, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself because we don't know what's going to happen after April 15th when there's that second portal window and how many players could come pouring out of programs, that may not seem to be what they thought it was when they signed with that program originally.
Great stuff. Mike Griffith covering the combine. We'll stay in touch with you all week, Mike. Many thanks for the report. Great to see you. As we head to the break, we have 45 minutes remaining here. Your phone calls are straight ahead.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We're back, and let's get to the calls. I-Man is up next.
Well, good afternoon there, Paul. How's it going?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Yeah, doing great. And I always enjoy Griff's interviews. I like that last little jab that he took. You know, we've been talking about it, and he was talking about, you know, wonder what's going to happen when the transfer portal opens up again. And everything just don't seem as calm. Just don't seem as calm.
No, it doesn't.
Paul, I tell you, here we are at the end of, you know, at the dark end of the street. Your program has turned into the Lonely Hearts Club, man, you know, for the lonely-hearted people. I tell you what, Matt, I'm going to make you an ambassador. Go get you a vest, a derby, and get you one of them pocket watches on a chain. You put that watch right in that pocket on that vest, and you will be an ambassador. You hear me, dude? You are an ambassador. Now, for the rest of these lonely hearts, I don't know what to do with them. I mean, this is the dark end of the street, Paul. You know them songs. At the dark end of the street. And wasn't it America talking about the lonely-hearted people? I tell you, you've got quite a collection of folks here, Paul. I mean, from a 12-year-old
These are my friends, I mean.
No, I know it. I can tell. I can tell. And I mean, this is Meltdown City. If you're looking to have a catastrophic meltdown, call Paul, because I tell you, Paul put crazy on the front porch. He don't care. Paul, that's one thing I like about you. You don't hide crazy on the back porch.
No.
You put crazy on the front porch.
I grew up with crazy. It's kindred spirit of mine.
No, absolutely. I mean, you put crazy on the front porch with the grass is swayed.
I had to grow up in a house full of New Yorkers.
I'm sure you did.
I mean, seriously, four people in my house when I was an infant, three of them born in New York. You think that's easy?
I reckon not.
I mean, that's why I carry my birth certificate around. I'm from the South. Don't call me a New Yorker. Born in Memphis.
And here you are leading the meltdowns. Listen to you getting them.
I'm having a meltdown thinking about my upbringing.
You about to start slamming your fist and knock your monitor off the damn table and just jerk
cursing.
The damn tile for saying, and go to the window and say, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. I'm not going to take it. I'm just not going to take it. I am an ambassador. I'm not lonely. Say it with me, Paul. Say it. I am an ambassador. I mean, you can't do it. You can't do it with a straight face.
Okay, one more time. My name is Howard Beale.
and I'm mad as hell.
Okay.
You know, I tell you what, you've got a collection. You know, I tell you, when I hear the meltdowns, you remember in the one flew over the cuckoo's nest, they're all sitting around, and that one dude, he's got the cigarette that starts burning his leg, and he's up and hopping. That's the catastrophic meltdowns you're having.
That's Crazy John's favorite movie.
That is
he was an
favorite
extra.
Scene. That is my favorite scene from that movie. I mean, and when they all go get on the boat, that's
a good movie.
And you take them all on the boat. I mean, you give them a boat ride every day. Then you go home and lock the door and you leave them all outside. Just leave them outside because you can. Throw them a thunder sweater and say, wrap up, buttercup. I mean, you know, Paul, and that legend come on here the other day. He's talking about his basketball skills. And I noticed he gave his stats, but they were getting beat. 100-something to 14. I guess he scored all them 8 points. I guess we need a pitcher, and we need some other people to prove that Legend actually played basketball. That's kind of hard for me to believe he played basketball. But if he says so, I mean, you know, we're going to roll with the punches because here we are at the dark end of the street on Lonely Street. You know, Paul, you ever been driving down the highway, and you just driving, and you see a road that kind of angles off, you know?
Yeah.
It doesn't have a 90-degree turn. It just angles. That's a one-way street. And you think, well, hell, let's go that way. Well, that's where this show is, at the end of that angled street. One way in, one way out is a cul-de-sac, and the bridge breaks down, tears down, and the rivers flood when you go there. Because that's what we've got here. We've got a train wreck. And you know what? Most people have never witnessed a train wreck because they're too busy looking at damn phones while they're driving now. But you got a collection of rubbernecks here. That is second to none, and that's got you in, what, the top 6 or 7 sports shows in this country?
We're trying.
Because of the rubbernecking. And you know, here we are again, and I guess Elvis is going to come and leave the building, but he'll go to the Heartbreak Hotel, too. Have a good day, War Damn Eagle.
Logan is up next.
Wow, man, that was crazy. What a call, what a call.
What a sermon.
Hey, Paul, Griffith actually made a little bit of sense today. This is the first time I've heard him do that in a long time. I guess you didn't ask him about Alabama, so
we needed a good segment from Griff. We didn't want anybody to think we don't like Griff.
Yeah, yeah, he's a solid rock, but I was surprised. But what I was calling about was about Jim calling in today. Is this the first time he's called back in since he quit the show?
Yes, it is.
So he praised you and then immediately started cursing you out. Like, what?
What did he say about me again? He said I was...
a great Christian.
I was a lying SOB.
Oh, well, yeah, I didn't hear that part. I think you guys beeped him on that. Yeah. I didn't get to...
And then he used a couple of four-letter words at the end that we also beeped.
We can't have, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that was interesting that guy Randy knows him. I know he's called in before. He must know Jim.
Yeah, I have spoken to Randy in the past. And by the way, I appreciate Jim, the cone of silence that he deserves. I'm not looking to out the guy. I don't really care.
No.
I mean, I know what he did, and I also know, as you do, what he didn't do.
Right. Exactly. I mean, nobody's against him. It's the things that he does on your show that pisses people off, man.
Yeah.
That's the whole point, you know.
Just the fact that he's got a fantasy life about the way it used to be. I mean, there's a reason for that.
Right.
I have friends who do therapy and psychoanalysts and psychiatrists and psychotherapists. And we all, everything that we do, no matter whether you're 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, a lot of it emanates from our youth.
Yeah.
And it's pretty obvious. Jim had an unfortunate accident, and he's still struggling to deal with it.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm thinking. I mean, I want him to have a happy mindset from his youth, but enlarging what
when I was 7 years old, I wanted to play for the Yankees.
Exactly, Paul.
I eventually got to Yankee Stadium with my dad. We sat on the right field side of the stadium, watched the game.
Nice, man. What position did you want to play?
I was a second baseman. They put the
second
worst
baseman.
Fielder at second base.
Oh, do they? I didn't know that. Okay. You got to turn that double play, though, man, or maybe at some point.
Yeah,
but
I just tried to stay out of it. I tried not to get spiked.
That's awesome, man.
And later, I later played softball. I was actually a decent pitcher.
Do you guys have the SEC Network softball team? Do you play against other people?
I'm sure somebody does, but I've kind of
you're not on that.
I've kind of moved out of that.
Yeah, I can see that.
It gets in the way of my yacht time.
Chilling on the yacht.
Yeah, I hate to waste a good afternoon on my yacht by playing softball.
I mean, why would you do that when you can sit on a yacht and smoke a nice cigar
I'm usually on the south of France by then.
Nice.
I mean, Saban and I, chilling out.
Yeah, Saban. You got to get Saban into the club, man.
Yeah. Well, it's great to hear from
you,
Logan. You take care of yourself. Do we have time?
Sure.
Mr. John.
Hello, Paul.
Hello, John. Welcome to our show.
Paul, this is a first-time caller.
That's good to hear from you.
And, Paul, this is going to be a nice call. I don't have anything really to complain about with the show or the callers or any of my theories on the show. I just want to, but this call tonight is really directed at the University of Missouri.
Okay.
And, I'm a big Missouri University fan and football, but more basketball than anything, Paul. And I'm going to tell you right now is I want to tell Coach Dennis Gates. You know, have you had a chance to visit?
Yeah, I have. I've met Coach Gates a few times. Yeah.
Yeah,
very, very nice guy.
You know,
I like
I've met Coach Gates a couple of times myself because I'm one of these people who gives the University of Missouri Paul lots of money.
I bet you.
And this call is I want Mr. Gates to listen to this because, you know, we're getting tired of this Coach Dennis Gates. The fact of the matter is, young man, is you need to start winning some games. Mm. And we have a new athletic director coming in to the University of Missouri.
Are you a candidate for that job?
Well, I should be, Paul, because we're not going to put up with it, Coach Denny.
I think he would be. Don't you think he would be a good AD? John would be a good AD?
Well, I think I should be because I can tell you right now, sir, is what's happening right now on the court with that program is embarrassing. I have tickets about seven rows behind the Tiger bench. I give thousands of dollars to that program, Coach Gates. And if you cannot deliver, you cannot even make the tournament next year. Wake up and smell the coffee and good night, Denny Gates.
Well, John, in fairness to Coach Gates, he made the tournament his first year. Yep. He's had a disappointing year, as we say at the network. What's the cliche line you always hear from the analysts? It hasn't gone exactly like he wanted it. But there's no reason to scream and throw your money around. Very disappointed in John's call as a University of Missouri man. We'll take a break. We have 30 minutes remaining here. Time for you to get in.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Well, don't forget, Saturday morning, bright and early, 7 a.m., Marty and McGee. You're supposed to holler, Randy, when I say Marty. AJ is up next. He'll do some hollering. Good afternoon.
You know, Paul, let me tell you one thing that John got in his pronunciations correct. He said the word basketball. And that's what, you know what, that's exactly what legend looks like, Paul. He looked like he ate about three basketballs. See him on that show with Keith Kiefer and Tony Curry. I mean, come on, man. But you know, Paul, what I figured, it's been a very informative day, Mr. Feinbaum. Because, Randy, I appreciate your call. It was much revealing to me, you know, because Squirrel is scared to let the cat out of the bag. I mean, come on, Squirrel. Step it up and grow some chestnuts and let the story out on Jim Lewis from Tuscaloosa. Because, you know, I figured today, I've understood now today, Paul, why he wears that Red Sox hat all the time, because all he is a Ted Williams wannabe. That's what he is. He's a Ted Williams fan. He never was a Ted Williams man. It's just like he says, I'm Jim and you don't want to be him, or you can't be him. Nobody wants to be Jim or him. But I can tell you, I did come up with a little bitty, just a few seconds ago, thought of a little poem I thought I'd cast out there to you. And it's John and Jim sitting in a two-man box, hiding like a sly fox. They love to crawl in the show and throw a bunch of rocks. But on Fridays and Saturdays, they ride around together and lick on lollipops. Somebody call the cops and make AJ stop. Because you know what I know, Paul. It's lonely at the damn top. Or damn Eagle, Paul.
John B. is up next.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Just a few minutes ago, I heard you talking about Saban, and it hit me. It hit me pretty hard, too. And, you know, I understand that you're afraid you're going to be left out of the Easter egg hunt and the sack race at his house. So, you know, when I brought that up about him getting fired, I feel like David Pollock, you know, on the game day show.
Well, Johnny B., I still haven't gotten the invitation yet. So
are you going to step on a good call here?
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm going to be like Jim. You know, that bracket looks like an Alabama voter registration. Most of them's dead, and we ain't heard of them in years. So you keep it just like you want. But you keep on all day long. You kept wanting Jim to call. You remind me of some of these guys up here. Their daughter's got a white Altima with her initials in the back, and the hubcaps are off, and they got this guy that don't have a car, and he's waiting for their taxes to come in so they can have a relationship. But just like Jim, that's you and Jim. You think you can save him. He quit school, lives with his mama, he's got anger issues. But we're going to keep talking to him. We're going to make it. It's not his fault that the teachers hated him. It's not his fault he quit school. It's not his fault he was a bad ball player. I mean, he just sucked at everything. And here you are enabling him. You're enabling the caller to come back to where he don't need to be.
Well, I'm not going to say anything because you've already chastised me for interrupting your great call.
Well, it was a great call. You have a good day, sir.
This guy will allow give and take because he's a friend of mine. Expired is up next from Texas.
What's up, friend?
Hey, Expired.
How's it going today, Paul?
We needed an Aggie in here after all these Bammers.
Well, no doubt. We got to gig them. I just wanted to get on here and get on and say who's hot and who's not as far as your callers. So here we go. You ready, Paul?
Yes. Shoot.
All right. Matt is hot. And Squirrel is not. His nuts got cracked. AJ remains hot. John Coffee is not. Johnny B was hot until that last call.
That was a tough call.
Yeah, he was on my list, and I'm just going to have to say he was kind of medium hot, and John from Louisville is not or never will be. Here's a shocker, Paul. I mean, this is hard for me to say, but I-Man is freaking hot.
Yeah, he's dropped some wood lately.
He really has. I-Man is hot. Yeah, he dropped some wood. He said that. Oliver the Beggar is not. That guy's awful. And the last one that's hot, it's Paul Feinbaum is hot and old, unathletic, crusty-ass Jim is not. Paul, you have a great day.
What a classic call. Rack that one. Jason is up next. Good afternoon, Jason. Jason, you there? Sorry, Jason. We tried to get you on. We could not. Handsome Joe is up next.
Roll Tide, roll Paul Feinbaum. And you know what? Hey, good show again today. I missed Jim's call. I got home late. But I don't bother me. I missed his call. But we all knew he was going to be back anyway. And he'll still be calling back in. He's done this for years. I mean, he's done this for years. And John Lewis, he was talking about this basketball coach at Missouri. I don't know. I can't even remember the guy's name. I don't know the man. But I got a message for that coach. Don't listen to John. I mean, it's okay to drop a few games here and there because, you know, just to keep the fans honest. And Paul, when you bring Mike Griffith on, I mean, I don't like the guy because, I mean, I guess he's okay. But I've said it before, he just looks like a funeral director. To me, he looks like somebody you want to talk to.
Yeah,
when you're planning
that,
a funeral.
That guy, I mean, that funeral, everybody's been there before where the guy in the terrible black suit walks over to you with the hairpiece. He says, Mr. I'm so sorry for your loss. Get away from me,
man. I feel like I'm picking out a casket or something.
Yeah, I don't want to talk to you.
No. But, you know, last night, Paul, you remember I told you yesterday, I'm not really that big of a basketball fan. I mean, I'll binge watch sometimes. But last night, I mean, there wasn't nothing good on Monday night, nothing that I like watching anyway. So I was channel surfing, and I come across this game, and it was UNC Wilmington Seahawks versus the Campbell Fighting Camels.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought, well, I'll watch this. You know, I've never heard of either one of these schools before. And they're better than high school, but they're not major college level. You know what I mean? And so I watched this game, and it just got to getting good. And it ended up going into double overtime. Well, Campbell had a losing record now. It was like 12-16. But, I mean, it can happen to anybody. Paul had a losing record, but they finally won it 105-100. So, I mean, but that was a good game. I like that one. And tonight, here, as soon as you go off there, I'm going to watch Davidson versus Dayton.
That Dayton game is one of the better games of the day. That is a very important game. Hey, thanks for the call. We're up against the break. Need to get this one in quickly so we can get back, get you ready for some basketball. We're coming back at right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.